Welcome to the Drop the Mic Wrestling Podcast on Tobacco Road Sports Radio and TobaccoRoadSportsRadio.com as part of your Wrestling Wednesday card. I'm your host, Michael Davis. It's been a big week for Tobacco Road Sports Radio. Out of Pocket with Michael Davis returned this past Monday, and usually you'd be watching Out of Pocket 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time during your lunch break, but we take Wednesdays for wrestling. Following last week's AEW Revolution recap with live attendees, Marcus Hernandez from the Four Sides of the Ring podcast and Jason Cetek, a good friend of mine, and an excellent interview with former WCW superstar Lodi, who has his weight room revival this Thursday. You can go back and watch that episode. Personally, probably my favorite episode that we've done on Drop the Mic. It was absolutely phenomenal. We had 15 minutes allotted extra because of how good that show was. But Drop the Mic is back this week with your main event mics. After his Out of Pocket debut yesterday afternoon, enter the multiverse of mics with myself and the other one, Mike Mealy, from the Mouthing Off with Wrestling podcast. Mike, dude, how are you doing, man? It's good to see you.
I'm great, brother. It's great. It was great chatting it up with you with NFL free agency the other day here on Out of Pocket. It feels so great to be a part of that. So great that it's back on the airwaves. So make sure you catch Out of Pocket. You got that Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays. You got it. It's every day, every day. So make sure you tune in live every afternoon on your lunch break. But man, it's great to be here. I'm excited to get back into what I'm more comfortable with, I'd say, professional wrestling. And we've got a lot to talk about this last couple weeks with everything going on.
Ooh, dude, there is a lot to talk about on the show. But before we do that real quick, like, thank you again for hopping on Out of Pocket yesterday. That was incredible. Even though you wore your Eagles hat, I'm not too pleased with that. I'm already writing a performance review you'll get later in the week. And that is one of your weaknesses that you can improve on. You
right.
can get
okay.
Maybe a Dallas Cowboy jersey behind you, oh, or boy. Maybe a Cowboy jersey, maybe a Cowboy.
Well, if we're talking Cowboys, how about your Cowboys? I'm hearing crickets coming from NFL free agency. You said it yourself, right? Mr. Long Snapper, only guy signed. So we'll save that for another day on Out of Pocket. But you better tell Jerry Jones to start reaching in those deep pockets and stop worrying about AI video boards.
Man, Derrick Henry gone to Baltimore. Saquon Barkley gone to Philadelphia. Tony Pollard's in Tennessee. Joe Mixon's in Houston. Josh Jacobs in Green Bay. But you know what? It's okay because we have... Hopefully there's a name to put there. It's whatever. This is a wrestling podcast, so I'm gonna take a break. Hopefully by the time Out Pocket's back at 12:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, then the Cowboys have signed somebody, made some moves. But WWE has been making some moves, and so I kind of want to split this entire show, you know, 50-50 best we can about WWE and AEW. But the big news that has been made official is the tag team match that is main event in night one. And it's not for the tag team titles. It's not for a new set of tag team titles, which we'll get into. It is The Rock teaming for the first time ever with his cousin, the tribal chief, the head of the table. Mike acknowledges him, Roman Reigns, versus Cody Rhodes and the World Heavyweight Champion, Seth Rollins. This is night one. Night two is going to see Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns in the main event. And then also night two, Seth Rollins defends the World Heavyweight title against Drew McIntyre. But, dude, anytime I saw on social media about The Rock and Roman Reigns teaming up at Mania versus Seth and Cody, I'm like, okay, this is dream booking. Fans are just like wanting it. Now it's actually happening. With stakes on the line, it determines how involved the bloodline is night two. Of course, Solo Sikoa costing Cody the title at last year's WrestleMania when they were in Hollywood. You were there live for that. But yeah, dude, this tag team match is official. Are you okay with that being your night one main event?
You know, yes and no. Yes, from a perspective of logically, storyline-wise, makes sense. You know, obviously WrestleMania has been thrown into a kind of, I don't want to say blender for the most part, because most of the matches were pretty much clear and cut, but things definitely got thrown out of whack. You know, CM Punk's injury, first and foremost, everything going on with, you know, the erasure of Lesnar. So it puts WWE in an interesting spot, and I'm okay with the tag match. I'm okay with double duty, but it does kind of suck on the flip side, because you could have had one of the women's title matches main event night one, something a lot of people complained about last year when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn main evented with the Usos for the tag titles, which was a fantastic moment live and in person. But a lot of people felt that Charlotte and Rhea should have been in that spot. A lot of people feel the same way right now about Rhea and Becky and or Bayley or and Io. So I like it from the storyline standpoint. It definitely does sting a little bit. Women don't main event WrestleMania night one once again.
So is that more just to give the women equal opportunity, or is it with the Royal Rumble stipulation where it's supposed to be a main event at WrestleMania?
Exactly. So you can take it both sides. I agree on both sides of the coin. I see it from a, hey, we're touting the winner of the Royal Rumble main events WrestleMania. This is the same logic that happened last year with Charlotte and Rhea. Same thing. People said the same thing. Rhea won the Rumble. Why is she co-main eventing night one? Why is she not the main event? Cody won the Rumble. He main evented night two last year. Same thing's happening this year, except the tag match, you know, with the stakes on the line is now slotted in there. I also see it from a standpoint of, the women deserve that opportunity. They have been working this entire year to culminate their stories at WrestleMania. So it feels only right to give the women a main event, and not just because of, oh, they're women, you know, let's be equal, but in the sense of they've put in the work just as much as if not the guys.
I get your point. I see your point. I could also see the point of somebody wanting the other world title that you're supposed to make relevant in this situation, that has just been trashed by Roman Reigns as like the secondary world title, having that main event with Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre. I do want to touch more on that here in a moment, but one thing about the Bloodline, and they said last year that they were taking over the business. Roman said it 2 years ago when he wrestled Brock Lesnar and won both the WWE and Universal title. He said it last year in the press conference where it's like he got his brothers in the main event of night one. He's main event night two. Bloodline's taking over the business. If you want this, you're going to have to come take it from us. We're not just going to hand it over to you. So in that regard, and that storyline purpose, I feel like this is a good spot for the night one main event, is Roman and Rock versus Cody and Seth, because it's like, hey, if Cody and Seth are actually trying to take down the Bloodline, take everything from them, they have to take their spot. And if they can win night one of WrestleMania and then Cody beats Roman night two, that's them taking that spot away. And another thing, like, you're attending live, I believe.
Yep.
I feel like a lot of people, if they're wanting to watch WrestleMania and you want them to watch the entire show, you're going to have to keep them engaged. What's the bigger match that you're going to wait up till 11 or midnight to watch? Is it Bayley versus Io for the casual fan? Is it Seth versus Drew? Is it Rhea versus Becky? And all those matches are going to deliver in ring, but The Rock is the bigger name. Roman Reigns is the bigger name. Cody is the bigger name. I feel like more people would stay in the stands or watch longer on Peacock on a Sunday night or a Saturday night to watch those guys rather than the women, as fair or unfair as that may be.
See, to save time on your show, I will agree to disagree with this, because I could argue that Rhea and Becky bring a level of star power, maybe not, obviously not as much as, you know, say a Roman and a Rock and a Cody and a Seth, but I would say Rhea and Becky have star power on their own that I think if they were to main event night two in an alternate universe, they would be able to draw and keep the crowd invested. Neither here nor there, but I see your point as well.
Yeah. And you know what's weird? You and I talk about this off the air. We usually just disagree, Alan, about everything. You're an Eagles fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. You're a Cody guy. I'm going to laugh when Cody walks away losing at back-to-back WrestleManias and you're there to watch it. in your Eagle Stadium. But we get along super well. It's so weird. And you know your stuff, even though your opinions are wrong a lot of the time.
Okay. We're going to put a wager on this. We're going to come back to this later on, maybe I'm mouthing off with Mike or drop the mic in the next couple of weeks. We're going to put a wager on this. We're going to have to come up with something. If Cody wins, you got to do something for me. If Roman wins, I'll do something for you. We'll figure it out when the time comes.
Dude, we talked about this on Out Pocket yesterday. I cannot be a gambling guy. I cannot be a gambling guy. It would not work out well for me. It wouldn't work out well. I'm not a good gambling guy, but if I was, you know, DraftKings is a thing. The wait is over. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR, is now live in North Carolina. Now you can legally bet on all your favorite sports anytime, anywhere, right here in North Carolina with DraftKings. For a limited time, new customers who sign up with promo code TOBACCOROAD and bet $5 will receive $250 instantly in bonus bets. DraftKings has the best features, including same-game parlays, player props, and more with fast and easy payouts right at your fingertips. Speaking of NASCAR, Kyle Larson is at plus 400 for this week's Food City 500 on Sunday. Brad Keselowski is a plus 1300. Bubba Wallace is a plus 4500. Those are just a few of the many racers you can bet based on if they win the race, if they finish top three, if they finish top five. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now using code TOBACCOROAD and bet $5 to get $250 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code TOBACCOROAD. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and used under license. So honestly, dude, if I can get, if I can put in $5 and then get $250 instantly in bonus bets, I might take that up. That's a good deal.
Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. DraftKings always got some good deals, I have to say.
That is solid. And maybe I can bet on some WrestleMania stuff too.
I hope one day we can do it. I'm taking the over on RKOs every time.
The over on RKOs. What some people might, I'm surprised they're not really over this yet, is Seth Rollins as World Heavyweight Champion. This is probably the longest face reign that I can remember that fans just didn't get tired of in WWE at the world title scene. Because even John Cena, they were turning on. CM Punk wasn't even a full-fledged face during his 434-day reign. But Seth Rollins defend the World Heavyweight title against Drew McIntyre. And with that tag team match we just mentioned, it feels like Seth and Drew is kind of on the back burner. They played on it a little bit on Monday's Raw. And Drew, it's in his mind right now. Are you happy with this story kind of being in the background and them actually acknowledging that it is this past Monday?
Yes. I mean, come on. What there was, WWE was put in an almost impossible situation. You know, CM Punk, you know, gets hurt in the Royal Rumble. Everybody would have bet there. I would have bet the mortgage on DraftKings that it was CM Punk versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania for the World Heavyweight Championship. That was the match. That's what Punk came back for. So they got thrown in, you know, big wrench here, and they did it wonderfully with Drew. And I love that the story is in the background and they're purposely doing it because they're showing you from the perspective of Seth Rollins. Now look at it from wrestling logic. Sure. But look at it from the perspective of Seth Rollins. They're putting the lens through his eyes and they're pushing the story to the back burner because it's on his back burner. He said it. Of the list of things that I'm worried about heading into WrestleMania, you're at the bottom. And Drew, with one of the best facial expressions in the game, you know, charges the ring, goes to pretend to attack Seth, but he doesn't. He stops himself. He goes, no, you know what? I'm going to save this. I love this. What a way to incite that fire within Drew, because he's lost to Seth twice previously this year for the title. So How are you going to push him over the edge to beat Seth? You motivate him. You put a fire in him, and you make it seem that Seth does not respect him nor worries about him. I'm all for it. I think it's working wonderfully.
So I was originally opposed on the last few weeks to drop the mic of Drew McIntyre wrestling Seth Rollins. One, because of the contract situation. That's not been confirmed. I'm sure he has resigned because you don't put him in that main event spot.
No.
Or wherever it places on the card for the world title. Seth Rollins is medically cleared, but dude, he needs a break. Who knows when that comes, if it comes after Mania, after Backlash, after SummerSlam. It's coming at some point. But dude, Monday night was probably the first time I looked at the TV and was like, you know what? I could see Drew McIntyre beating Seth Rollins and becoming World Heavyweight Champion, and I'm totally okay with it because of what happened Monday night and Seth underestimating the guy who just won an Elimination Chamber to go and contend for the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania. They, on Monday alone, I think they sold me on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the match was sold for me when Drew won the chamber, because I was like, all right, Drew's winning the chamber. Drew versus Seth, round three, winner take all, you know, for the glory, for the championship. Drew looks to finish his story, quote unquote, winning the title in front of fans that he never got to do. Yeah, I mean, with having to be a slot in replacement, I guess, Drew's doing this wonderfully and he's having the best character run of his career. I don't care what anybody says. This Drew McIntyre, my favorite inception of his character.
And you could probably give credit to your tribal chief, Roman Reigns, for this Drew McIntyre run, because without Drew losing at Clash at the Castle to Roman and being cost time and time again by the Bloodline, we don't get this heel Drew that just
more. I don't even think he's a heel. He's not a heel. He's not a heel in my purse. I don't think he's a heel. He is just a realist. He is a guy who's like, look, I got screwed out of the title countless times by the Bloodline. I don't like the Bloodline. Then they help him win a couple matches, and he's like, Bloodlines, whatever. I love that he's a hypocrite. He's a realist. He double talks on himself. I don't think he's a full-fledged heel yet. I think it's like this in-between character we haven't seen really before.
Wow. That is a take for sure. Now, one other guy who has been helped by the Bloodline story is Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, obviously the work he was doing last year with the Bloodline, and then he wins the six-pack challenge to challenge Gunther for their Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. What do you think? Was Sami Zayn the right call? Are you excited for Sami versus Gunther at Mania?
I knew you were going to ask this, man. I'm torn here because I really wanted Sami in the offset. And then over these last couple of weeks with these video packages and Chad Gable and the realness that he's been able to display and the seriousness of the situation, I wanted Chad Gable Monday night to win that gauntlet match. I wanted Chad Gable to start the gauntlet match, not come in at the last entry, which didn't really make sense when he, in his promos, talked about being and running the gauntlet. So at the end of the day, I'm okay with Sami versus Gunther because it tells us one thing and one thing alone. Gunther's historic Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship reign will continue throughout WrestleMania. Who dethrones him? I have no idea. Chad Gable maybe down the line. Andrade, maybe now he's on Raw. He could come in, slot in down the line on a WrestleMania Backlash. But Sami versus Gunther almost, in my personal opinion, assures Gunther retains the title.
Dude, and with Sami, like, yeah, I thought Chad Gable could have been potential winner of that six-pack challenge. Almost thought he was a couple of times. And then Sami could have kept going with this, how am I getting a WrestleMania kind of story. But, dude, I mean, Sami, that was the title he was chasing for a long time, like 4 years ago. That was his title, which makes me think he's already a made star. And he's mentioned that he wants the world heavyweight title and show he's that caliber. So it makes me think that while Sami would have that key WrestleMania moment, he had that last year with Kevin Owens in the main event. I think Gunther retains his title here.
Yeah. And I think Sammy goes on to Money in the Bank in Canada and wins. Makes sense.
Ooh, Sammy win Money in the Bank would be awesome. What also is going to be pretty awesome is in the sea of brotherly love, we got Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. Yeet versus no yeet. We got, and I'm not even going to try to repeat.
Uso Jay's. Versus Uso. We got me versus me. We got
me versus me.
No got yeet. Me. That was so funny, dude. I'm excited for this one, man.
Dude, I'm excited for it. Do you think they've built this the right way?
Yes, they started this build in January at the Royal Rumble with them being in the Royal Rumble at the same time. So I thought that was genius. I also think with Jimmy screwing Jey over multiple times, multiple titles, awesome detail for the story, because it's like, bro, why are you so jealous of me? You know, like, you're with Roman, you're with the tribal chief, you're in the bloodline. I want nothing to do with the family. I'm trying to do me, but you're obsessed with me. I'm in your head rent free. I love the story. I think this match has a potential with the emotions to possibly steal the show, whether night one or night two.
That would be incredible. As you can see on our Tobacco Road Sports Radio's YouTube feed, playing with a couple different things on the YouTube channel today. We did a solo layout of Mike Mealy earlier, which we also tried on Out of Pocket yesterday. If you guys want to go back and rewatch that, but you know what? I'm just going to be honest, like, a screen without my face just isn't as great. Sorry, bro. So I don't think I'm going to do that solo layout on you again. For me, though, I mean, why not, right?
Oh, yeah, do it.
Why not? And I can still hear you.
Well, that's positive.
Yeah, it's whatever. But they've honestly, back to Jey versus Jimmy, we found a squirrel on the podcast.
Yeah.
There it goes. This is how our conversations are, whether me and Mike are like playing Madden or we're on the phone talking to each other, or we're playing Madden and I like cream his Eagles bad.
Ugh. Yeah, it was bad.
I wasn't even like focused or whatever.
He wasn't trying. It was bad.
It's okay. Dude, it was close early on. And then, you know, Dallas did really good. And yeah, now
four interceptions. Terrible.
But to be fair, I mean, I was using Cowboys players who aren't even on the team anymore, like Tyler Biotis and Tony
Pollard.
That doesn't
mean anything. That doesn't mean anything to me. It's about the pride, Mike.
It's the pride. But they've been building this Jimmy and Jey feud longer than January. They built it the exact same way that they built Ray versus Dominic. They set that in motion in the summer. And then since you want the payoff at WrestleMania, you're going to have the other switch brands. So Ray, you know, tries to retire. Triple H is like, hey, we'll just move you to SmackDown instead.
Yeah.
Jey Uso's like, I quit, deuces.
Yeah.
And then Cody's like, actually, come over to Monday Night Raw. And then Royal Rumble is where both, I believe, you know, started to like, oh, we're introducing these characters back to each other. Yeah. I think this is incredible by Triple H to like just get 9-12 months out of something you would have had in like 2 or 3. And this match is going to hit better at Philadelphia in the city of brotherly love than it would at like a Crown Jewel.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Also, speaking of, you know, tag teams, they were in the main event last year, at WrestleMania's night one, but now, man, I wrote an article on fansfirstsports.com. You guys can go check that out on FFSN, but I was like, man, they got to split these tag team titles. There's two main tag teams. There's nine teams on both Raw and on SmackDown, but instead, they'd make the announcement on Monday that instead of like creating a new set of tag team titles and having one defended on night one, the other on night two, we're going to create a 6-team ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team titles. Damian Priest and Finn Balor are one of those teams. And there will be other 5 teams, you know, decided, I'm sure, on SmackDown and over the next week or so. But man, I cannot get over them not splitting the tag titles. Do you feel my pain on this one?
Yeah, I feel your pain on this. You know it firsthand. I've been an advocate for splitting these tag titles since the new year. I had a whole final mouth off back then detailing when AOP redebuted, like, time to split the tag titles. I just spoke it on last week's episode. Time to split the tag titles. Similar to your article, went through, named each team. I forgot a couple, but I threw them in post-edit. 9 teams each division, and you're going to have a set of tag titles floating? Come on, man. You have the opportunity to get so many teams on TV to show their talents, and it pains me to say it, but I have the feeling, and I've seen a lot of theories out there on social media, that they're going to do the corny one Raw team, one SmackDown team. They each grab a belt, and then that's how they split the titles at WrestleMania. I have seen that theory. Yeah.
That is
a fantasy booking. People have been fantasy booking that one SmackDown team, one Raw team. They've done it in the past. We've seen it happen in ladder matches with 2 titles on the line where one team grabs one and the other team grabs the other. And, you know, then you have this inevitable, like, well, they're both the champs. And that's how they cop out and split them. I said the easiest way to split them was to have all this throw a fit, tell Pierce, look, I want a tag division for my own. I want champions on my brand. I'm the SmackDown GM. You've had these titles for over a year. It's time for my teams to get a crack at those SmackDown titles. I want the titles. Split them right then and there. Have the Judgment Day versus 2 teams or 3 teams from Raw, ladder match. Night 1, 3 teams, 4 teams from SmackDown. Night 2, ladder match, whatever. Same deal. They're doing the same thing. They're just going to condense it. So I'm excited for a ladder match. The ladder match at WrestleMania returns. We haven't had one in years. But, man, it feels like a cop-out, especially if they do that whole one team grabs one and the other.
Yeah, that... I love ladder matches at WrestleMania. It's always fun. But, man, I'd rather it be the United States title. Have Logan Paul, Randy Orton, have four other guys that need a rub. Put Cameron Grimes in the ladder match. That would be awesome to see. But, yeah, I'm not a fan. These qualifying matches, too, according to what they said on Raw on Monday, Alpha Academy's Otis and Akira Tozawa are taking on the New Day's Kofi and Xavier Woods. I'm assuming the New Day win that one. But DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa face the Creed brothers. I was under the impression both of these tag teams should be that match.
Me too. That boggles my mind a little bit.
So who are you leaving out of that? And then The Miz and R-Truth, who I really thought should have had a 2-on-2 tag team match against the Judgment Day and have Miz and R-Truth have their WrestleMania moment. They're facing Enda Share. So I'm assuming The Miz and R-Truth win that qualifier match. Come on, man. They missed the boat on this one. Just my opinion.
Yeah. I'm not happy that the Creeds are picking on DIY. Now, those two are going to have an insane match on Raw next week. But unless they do a last man or last chance qualifying match at the end, that's a tough decision. Because I lean toward the Creed brothers, but I also love DIY. So for me, I'd have to say DIY, because they really need this. But I wouldn't be shocked to see the Creed brothers get a last chance opportunity. But we also have to see what SmackDown teams are involved, because you said it, I said it, 9 teams on each show. So some teams are going to get slighted.
Yeah, and it's unfair to them, especially competing for one title. And it's interesting to see if DIY stays face or heel, because on Monday's Raw, we saw Candice LeRae go full Christian Cage, turn full heel. The word she used was wild. She cornered Maxine Dupri and basically bullied somebody who's like a foot taller than her and made her cry and leave the ring. Candice was basically like, you better be glad that your dead brother isn't here, because he'd be ashamed of you. And I'm like, is WWE watching Christian Cage's work? Because this is like, this almost feels like copyright infringement here.
Dead fathers, dead brothers, you know, different relatives. I guess it's relative in the conversation. Man,
unalived.
But, yeah, unalived. Man, I'm all in on Poison Pixie 2.0, dude. Candice LeRae is superiorly underrated. One of the best women's wrestlers in the game right now. She doesn't get to showcase her talents enough, in my personal opinion. I love it, man. They turned the social media. So there's a video posted. I'm sure you've seen it, but a video was posted a few weeks ago from a live show where a crowd was booing very, very rudely towards Maxine. Not a normal boo of you're booing a heel, more of like a boo, you suck, leave the company kind of boo, because they felt that Maxine wasn't talented. On the flip side, all of the talent took to Twitter and defended her and hyped her up, which is great to see. Great culture. But WWE is so smart. Triple H, he's cooking. Long-term storytelling has been his number one priority, but he also takes things that become large discourse on social media and the internet wrestling community and spins them to stories with what we're seeing here with Candice and Maxine. So chef's kiss to Triple H for spinning this in a positive direction for both Candice and Maxine to have a story on TV in the lead up to WrestleMania. I love it.
Yeah. It's absolutely incredible what Triple H is doing. Triple H is also, I believe this is his first time in full control of the Hall of Fame class. We've had Paul Heyman announced. We've had Muhammad Ali as a celebrity wing, Bull Nakano, US Express as well, is a big one. Mike, I just wanted to get a couple thoughts. First, Paul Heyman, no surprise, but who do you think inducts him into the Hall of Fame?
Paul Heyman inducts himself. Yep.
Okay.
I know. Why? It's wild. Just because it's Paul Heyman. He doesn't need anybody to induct him.
Wow. The greatest, it's a hot take. The greatest mouthpiece inducts himself.
Yep.
Wow. See, I thought you were going along the lines of maybe CM Punk because of their relationship.
I mean, if there was a guy to do it, it was going to be he who shall not be named. That would have been the guy to do it. I think CM Punk is a good decision. I mean, if you want to get crazy, you could start talking ECW guys, you know. Tommy Dreamer's name floated around. TNA and WWE have an okay relationship. I don't know what that is now with, you know, the new ownership and stuff, but it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that is an interesting take. Paul Heyman inducting himself, because why not? And another thing is US Express, obviously, Barry Windham, Mike Rotunda. They are kin to the late, great Bray Wyatt. I also got the Bray Wyatt plaque up in the corner of our studio, and Mike does as well, a little off-screen, off-kilter right there. Thank you, by the way. Appreciate
it. No, don't ever mention
appreciate
it.
You.
You should have never said a word.
Never say a word. I appreciate you being on the show. I know you're a big Bray Wyatt fan like myself. What do you think about US Express going in? And does this mean that Bray Wyatt's going to be inducted probably at WrestleMania 41?
This is a tough one for me. I feel so happy for Mike and Barry here to go get in the Hall of Fame here. US Express, what a great tag team, a legacy tag team, you know. It does feel a little awkward that WWE did not immediately put Bray in the Hall of Fame this year. Now, there is still probably one or two announcements still left to be made on the Hall of Fame, so things could change. But I guess I'm okay with him being inducted next year, because I'll be honest, I'm still feeling the effects. I'm sure his family's still feeling the effects of that. That was such a shocking moment in August that I don't think really anybody, I don't know if we can handle it. But on the flip side, if Bray goes in, I want Brody Lee in there as well with him. So maybe that's why he's not going in this year, because they are going to put both of them in together next year. That's just a back of the head kind of thought.
Yeah, I would love the whole Wyatt family to be inducted. And yes, I do see the Brody aspect, but what is that something that AEW has to like agree to? Because is Brody or his family like under contract with AEW?
Well, yeah, we know Amanda works in with talent and talent relations and production. So I'm sure if it needed to be cleared, they could clear it, because, you know, AEW did a fantastic tribute for him back in the day. And what greater tribute than getting inducted into the quote unquote, maybe the only Hall of Fame, you know, but I know TNA has their own Hall of Fame, but you know, the most recognized wrestling Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah. And it would be really special to see either of those guys, if not both of them, go in. I'd also like to see Bray just go in solo as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the Wyatt family. Wyatt family versus the Shield back in the day. Like, Oh my.
Versus goodness. New Day. Oh.
Oh, dude, they missed the boat not having Wyatt family versus the Shield at WrestleMania, because
yeah,
they had built it that entire like WrestleMania season, and you know, we didn't get it at WrestleMania. We got it at like a Fastlane or Elimination Chamber or something.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, so it was we still got it. We do still miss Bray. It's tough. You mentioned AEW. We have to shift gears here to AEW and what they're doing. One thing I do want to note is they have a new look that they debuted on Wednesday. Obviously went to Revolution the Sunday before. Dynamite shows back up, and it kind of looks colorful. If it reminds you of a little something, what's your overall thoughts on?
I cracked the joke. I said NXT 2.0, but then I kind of thought about it and I was like, AEW started first with like the color pop with the 2019 Inception. So it's more so them going back to their roots, because a lot of people love the color. A lot of people love the tunnels. I'm okay with going back to this look, but personally, the thing that's kept AEW apart from WWE and the feeling was they didn't have an overproduction on like everything. Now they have the LED ring mat. They have the LED barricade, similar to what WWE does. I personally liked when they did like the old school barricades and the ring mats, like the old school cloth ones. It just felt like I was watching more of a wrestling based product. Whereas like WWE, we know, is sports entertainment. So the production and having that additional LEDs makes sense. I like the new design. I like the new logo. I love the new opening song. It's catchy. It's overall, I don't think putting lipstick on it is what could help AEW. I think just consistently booking their talent with consistent stories would go a long way than just a quick put lipstick on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never against a company redesigning what they look like, but stick to your core, stick to what got you to the dance. And you mentioned 2019 being, you know, what really got them to the dance. They're a pro wrestling company, old school barricades, old school mat. I do love, you know, bringing back the tunnels.
Yeah.
I like the TNA tunnels that TNA is using a little bit more.
Those were awesome.
Oh, I mean, but we'll see what we got from AEW, because we do have a big match, Danielson versus Ospreay, pending at AEW Dynasty. People said Ospreay's match against Takeshita at Revolution is the match of the year candidate. Dude, could this just blow that match out of the water?
Oh, man, this Brian and Will, dude, this could be like a... I don't know if those two collide, the world might explode type of moment. Like that is something I never, ever, ever, ever thought we would get to see. And it's a reality in a month. I'm excited, dude. This is going to be great. Great. This is going to be a match of the year. Ospreay might have multiple matches of the year this year.
Dude, he might. This might be match of the decade.
Oh, man.
When it comes down to it, because it is Danielson and Ospreay, and Danielson obviously getting towards the end of his career, but he's kind of still in his prime phase. Like he can go 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 60 minutes. He can go, and then putting him in the ring with somebody who makes it look so effortless, like Will Ospreay. I mean, his match with Kyle Fletcher last week on Dynamite was really great. So excited to see what he does. I went on the show last week and I was talking to Jason. I was talking to Marcus. Marcus being from the Four Sides of the Ring podcast. You and I have been on a couple of their episodes. And we will, by the way, we will be getting those tag team titles. FYI.
We will be getting that. The Trivia Championship. We were coming.
We are coming for those tag team championships. And you cannot stop us. Okay? Just FYI. Okay? Whoever wins the finals, you're on notice, whatever.
You're on.
And don't even send the titles to their address, because we need a shot immediately. Yeah. They'd have to send us right. Actually, send it to their address so they have the pleasure of sending it to us.
Exactly. Now you're thinking. I like
now it. Now I'm thinking. I don't think a lot. But what I did think about last week was like, man, if Okada debuts on Dynamite tonight. I'll be upset. We didn't get to see him in Greensboro. And of course, he did debut. But I get why he didn't do it at Revolution. He turned heel. He aligned with the Young Bucks. And now he's part of the new elite. Do you think this was the best way to introduce Kazuchika Okada?
Oh yeah, baby. That was that hit, yo. I'm gonna get a little off track here. You mean to tell me Big Rainmaker Okada comes in and hits the Rainmaker on Eddie Kingston, aligns himself with the elite? He's in the elite now. They booted Hangman, suspended. They threw Kenny out. I love it. This is so good. I have a phrase that I'd use, but we can't because, you know, we got to keep things family friendly on this platform, but it is such good. And I love it, man.
It's such good stuff. And I love it. Yeah, that was a while, especially knowing Okada and the Young Bucks have a history back in Japan, but you mentioned it. They suspended Hangman from the elite, not AEW, from the elite, but they fired Kenny Omega from the elite. Why the difference?
Well, I think they're seeing that Hangman has gotten an edge to him over these last couple months with Swerve, and he's absolutely lost his mind. So I feel like with the suspension to Hangman, that's something that pushes him over the border with character-wise, and maybe the Young Bucks use that to their advantage. Maybe like, Hangman, come on, man. You know, you love us. Come on. We got you. Don't worry. And then down the line, Hangman, you know, helps the elite and gets his spot back in. As for Kenny, this is inevitably leading to some form of a elite civil war down the line. I'm just saying. Kenny Omega does have some friends. They do go by the name of Adam Cole. You know, could see, Undisputed Kingdom might dissolve, or maybe Kenny Omega joins up with the gang. There's a lot of things that could be cooked, but I will say, you know, when Tony Khan has fully fledged an idea out, when you get what we got this past Wednesday on Dynamite, what we got this past Saturday on Collision, you know this has been fully fleshed out, and I'm excited to see where this takes us through the summer.
And I feel like Okada's appearances sporadically on AEW programming helped him feel more comfortable about making the jump full-time to the U.S., and also not signing with WWE. He kind of knows what he's in for with AEW, and what fans are in for are 30, 45-minute classics. If we can get those, AEW spoiled now because they got Okada, they got Ospreay, and now big business tonight, potentially Mercedes Moné showing up. Dude, obviously she's showing up. I mean, I don't want to play spoilers, but once you put it in Boston and you spell Boston, Boss. B-O, money, money, ton, dude, she's coming. This is about as obvious as the last dance, the final dance, the first dance, whatever it was called, with CM Punk in Chicago. What do you expect from Mercedes Moné tonight? And actually, how does she debut?
Oh, you're a maniac for that question. You're a maniac for that question. How does Mercedes Moné, how does she debut? Well, I'm gonna paint you a picture. Now bear with me. Mercedes Moné should come right out to start Dynamite. We should have the intro to Dynamite, the pyro, boop, 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 boop. Place goes dark. Video package rolls in. SUV, private jet, something along those lines. You see the car pull up into the arena. The door opens. You see, you know, a high heel or whatever, you know, whatever shoe, fancy shoe that a boss would wear, right? You see the camera back up, and here she is, Mercedes Moné, struts on out, opens Dynamite, gets a promo, says, "The boss is all elite." That's it. Wrap it up. See you later. See you next week on Dynamite to see who Mercedes Moné will call out. That's how you do it.
Wait, so not even an in-ring promo or anything?
Yeah. She comes out. She grabs a mic. She says, "The boss is all elite." Gone. That's it. That's what you do. You leave the people wanting more. What's going to get someone to tune in to Dynamite next week? You advertise Mercedes Moné in-ring promo with Renee Paquette next Wednesday Dynamite. There's your pop for the 9 o'clock hour. If they want to put the women in the 9 o'clock hour spot, the thing that needs to happen, I don't want to overrun on you, but if you're bringing the boss in Tony Khan, I really hope you start putting in a large emphasis on that women's division, because she is not one to be played with. I'll leave it at that.
I mean, he's going to leave it at that, but I'm going to pick that up because Sasha Banks and Naomi were women's tag team champions just a couple years ago. And Sasha and Naomi like took a stand together and left WWE. Naomi obviously went on to a TNA run as Trinity and then came back WWE. But Sasha Banks / Mercedes Moné has been gone from the U.S. scene. She did some stuff in Japan. But yeah, she doesn't play. And if she starts seeing the same, not emphasizing the women's division, exactly, or not showcasing the women's division, then she'll leave, because WWE has changed that in the last couple of years. That's why Naomi, I felt, was comfortable coming back to WWE. And Mercedes in AEW, All Elite, she's going to want the spotlight on her. Dude, there's so many people I'd love to see her get in the ring with.
Oh, my goodness.
Who do you want her first feud to be?
The first feud, I think, should be somebody who can afford a loss. So I'd say Serena Deeb. That's a good woman's name to shout out there. Down the line, I'd love to see her take on Thunder Rosa, Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker, Julia Hart, Sky. I love to see her mix it up with Sky Blue. I want to see a rematch with her and Willow, because if you recall early last year when Willow versus Mercedes was the main event for New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong, crowning first ever New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong women's champion. Unfortunately, Sasha got injured in that match. Willow ended up winning that title, having a short title reign thereafter. So I want to see that rematch happen. There's a lot of women in the AEW roster that I just named off the top of my head that all would be fantastic feuds for Mercedes, but I think the first one should be Serena Deeb.
Okay, you named a lot of ones that I'm actually excited for, but you didn't name one. I thought you were almost going here with this, but then you said Willow Nightingale, which I would totally go for Willow versus Mercedes. But Mercedes wrestled somebody who actually got hurt and almost ended her career back in WWE. How about Mercedes Moné versus Saraya? The story's there. That could give Saraya something to sink her teeth into that she hasn't had since she was women's champion back in August. Dude,
yes, but she's locked up right now with the Ruby story.
What's bigger, though?
Oh, yeah, Saraya
versus Ruby?
Of course. I'm not saying that, but if they abandon this story, that's a bad faith abandonment there, because they put a lot of Rampage time in. Yeah, I know it's Rampage, but they put a lot of Rampage time and some Dynamite segments into this whole Ruby, Saraya, Cool Hand Ange, Harley Cameron thing. And I'm cool with Ruby and Saraya having a match here, whether it's at Big Business or down the line at Dynasty. And then, yeah, you could slot in Mercedes right after. So I'm cool with that too, but I think I don't think they should abandon Ruby, because Ruby's firing all cylinders right now. She's really coming back into her own after losing some serious momentum.
You could also do Saraya and Harley Cameron versus Ruby and Mercedes.
Also valid.
As a tag match.
Good point.
And that could be a great segue from the Saraya Ruby story to the Saraya and Mercedes story, which I feel like fans would watch. Gosh, anything with Mercedes. We just got a couple more minutes left, so want to hit these couple matches real quick. Jay White versus Darby Allin. This could be Darby's last match before he attempts to climb Mount Everest. Who wins this one?
I think Jay White gets a win here. He needs this momentum badly. A lot of people have been worried about him. I think Darby is a good guy to have here. And I mean, if he's going to be gone for a couple weeks with climbing Mount Everest, makes sense. But Tony Khan could also give him the win just because, like, he's climbing Mount Everest.
Dude, he's climbing Mount Everest. And that's a scary thing. So best wishes to Darby Allin. And dude, he like respect, man. He is one of the biggest risk takers I know, not even in the ring, but outside of the ring. And if, you know, half the population had his risk taking and just confidence, like, man, a lot of people would be changed. Samoa Joe defended the AEW World title against Wardlow. They've hinted at some stuff between Wardlow and Undisputed Kingdom that Wardlow would win the title and then hand it off to Adam Cole. Do we see this, or does Samoa Joe beat Wardlow?
No, I don't think Wardlow wins this. Samoa Joe retains. How that happens, that's where things get a little tricky. Wardlow can't. I don't think Wardlow can lose. But Samoa Joe can't lose to Wardlow either, because what credibility has Wardlow gained?
Exactly.
How do you play this out? How do you see this playing out? Because I got three letters that I think could play this out.
So one of the ways I could see it happening is, obviously, you can't have Samoa Joe go over clean or Wardlow go over clean.
No.
So you need the Undisputed Kingdom to get involved. This probably ends in no contest in very WWE fashion. Because Adam Cole's like, hey, you're only champion because we allowed it to happen. And if Wardlow's not going to be champion, we're going to make sure you're not pinning our guy. Or you could also have Wardlow lose and then Adam Cole be frustrated and disappointed in Wardlow. You said three letters, though. Do you see a surprise happening?
I don't know if I see a surprise happening. I don't know what the extent is. I don't know what the updates are. But the three letters that I'm thinking that could come into play here is MJF.
Is that because he's better than you?
He's better than you and you know it. But it's also called big business. And I know we're in Boston and Sasha, Mercedes. But who also has been billing about a massive contract extension and getting the bag? Could Tony have some other business that he has to attend to in the form of signing everybody's favorite,
yeah,
MJF?
And then also, Dynasty's the next pay-per-view. MJF used to be in a group called Dynasty. Maybe that's big business.
I also thought about
Dynasty.
That as well. Good man. This is why we get along, baby. You're in my head. I didn't even say anything. You knew exactly where I was going to take that. Right to Dynasty. I love it.
Right to Dynasty. Right now, we're ending our show, so we have a final spotlight right now. Mike, is there anything we didn't cover that you want to mention before we leave?
Man, I think we nailed pretty much everything here that we wanted to talk about. The one thing I do want to say is NXT, man. NXT, if you are sleeping on NXT, I beg of thee, wake up. I say it every week on my show. Please watch NXT. If you have the opportunity to sit down, watch it, 2-hour show, you get to see some of the brightest up-and-coming stars of the next generation, even some new and familiar faces who may drop back in the form of Sean Spears.
The chairman, baby, and not the other chairman. Yeah, that's a good shout. My final spotlight is, I don't have the new WWE video game yet. I know you do. We'll probably talk about it here soon. But I've been getting in WWE 2K23, enjoying the MyRise, enjoying the Lock storyline going on right now. If you guys haven't played that and you still have the 23 version, I highly recommend it. But also, we're getting images out on Community Creations. If you search up, Mouthing Off with Mike, or
they haven't been formally uploaded yet. So I will make an update on my social media at @MOWM_podcast when I do upload mine and Mike's sign to the WWE 2K24 creations. I'm just working out the kinks and trying to figure out how formats work for video games. So when they're live, you'll be the first to know on my social media.
Yeah, go follow Mike at @MOWM_podcast. That is on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio's YouTube feed right now underneath his name. But yeah, we got to get out of here. Thanks everyone who tuned in for Drop the Mic this week, and everyone who supported Tobacco Road and what we've been doing this week with the return of Out of Pocket with Michael Davis. You can go watch the first two episodes on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio's YouTube channel. We'll be back for Thursday and Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time for your lunch break with Out of Pocket. Mike was on the show yesterday, so you can go watch him. Go follow Mike at MOWM_podcast on his social media and YouTube channel to see his podcast. And of course, Lodi was on the show last week. Lodi also does a weight room revival. It will be tomorrow night in Matthews, North Carolina, at Your Flex Appeal, which is his wrestling school and gym, with special guest speakers Peter Bilt, Pastor Andy McDaniel, and it's hosted by Lodi himself. So you'll get to see me there. You'll get to see Lodi there. But yeah, subscribe to the Tobacco Road Sports Radio's YouTube channel for more Drop the Mic episodes this year. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and our new TikTok. We have a TikTok, and we're posting Drop the Mic clips, Out of Pocket clips, Cat Cave clips, all the stuff. Again, Out of Pocket will be back tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for your lunch break. It's your first daily sports show on Tobacco Road four times a week on the YouTube channel. But most of all, guys, thank you for spending your Wednesday with us on Drop the Mic. We have to get out of here, but whatever you do, don't drop the mic. We will see you all next week.